Hi, this is Dr. Toni Cooper, and this is Life Without Baggage. In this podcast, I'll help you develop a stronger sense of self, develop firmer boundaries, and also learn how to lean into the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit, who can help you navigate life. I have dozens of bonus videos posted that will help you in these areas and also will help you develop stronger coping skills. In each of the program notes, there's a link where you can request a free digital book, Understanding Your Dreams, where you can find my other media, and also where you can find my books on Amazon. Just a reminder before we get into today's episode that this is not a substitute for medication or counseling. If you're having thoughts of harming yourself or another person, or if this material triggers you, please contact your doctor or a mental health specialist to help you with your concerns. Now here's today's episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Life Without Baggage. I'm in the series on sharpening your coping skills. And today I'm in kind of the mini series on perfectionism. Today I'm going to be talking about how perfectionistic tendencies kind of corrupts how we think God views us and our ability to draw from his peace and his encouragement and his power. So last time I did the quiz on defining perfectionism, helping you recognize perfectionistic tendencies. So if you didn't hear that, you could go back and catch it. And if you're not already following or subscribing to this podcast, I would really appreciate it if you would do that, depending on what your platform allows you to do. Also, if you have any questions you'd like me to cover in upcoming podcasts, or even if you have feedback that you would like me to know about, something that really helped you, I would love to hear from you or to know about any questions, topics you'd like me to cover. I'm still offering the ebook on Understanding Your Dreams, so that's free. And if you follow the link, I'll send you a copy to your email. It describes the three sources of dreams, keys to unlock the meaning of dreams, the symbols, and then some principles to help you determine whether or not a dream is from God. So let's get into today's episode on perfectionism disguised as faith. Now, I'm going to review the definition from last week. This is out of the Oxford Language Dictionary. So perfectionism, according to the Oxford Language Dictionary, is a doctrine, a belief that religious, moral, social, political perfection is attainable and that it should be attained. So before I talk about how these attitudes contaminate our ability to sense God's love, his forgiveness, how it distorts how we think he views us, I've done a lot of research on this. So before we get into all of that, I thought it might be good to start with a verse out of Psalms. So this is Psalm 36:9 from the Passion Translation. And it says, "To know you is to experience a flowing fountain, drinking in your life, springing up to satisfy. In your light, we receive the light of revelation." So that is the Passion Translation, Psalm 36, verse 9. Now, the reason I share that to start with is that when there is a gap between what we believe, what we say we believe, and what we experience, then some kind of a distortion is operating. Many times the distortion that's operating is related to something we've experienced or some attitude we have about ourselves, and those get projected onto the Lord. I did my doctoral research on this, and so it's really passionate topic to me. I got interested in this at the beginning of my career because I noticed that people that were very faithful going to church and tried to follow all the rules, and I mean, did lots and lots of religious activity. Many times they were tormented, feeling like God hadn't forgiven them yet, that they had done something wrong. And a lot of times it was something little, and they were kind of stuck, or they just were doing all these things on a daily basis that to me, like, wow, that is way more than I do. And they still felt disconnected from God, or that God was angry with them. And I thought, I need to study this and figure out what's going on with that. And actually, I've written a book called Correcting Distortions. I'll put a link in the program notes if you want to get a copy of that. That one isn't free, it's on Amazon. Correcting Distortions in Your View of God. So early in life, the first year, we are developing in our own little brains, in our hearts and minds, the sense of whether or not we're loved, whether or not that love is secure, whether or not we can trust. So all of this is at the beginning. And later we learn, we're taught things about God. If we go to church, if somebody talks to you about God. So these early emotional experiences, your attachment grid, that is in place before you have any real exposure to God. So, in other words, what I'm saying is, once you're introduced to God, that comes through the grid of what it's been like with people. So, if you have felt loved, forgiven, celebrated, like we talked about in the first episode on perfectionism, kind of how that lays a grid for us. If we have mostly positive experiences, we're going to find it easy to believe that God forgives us, that He loves us, that He enjoys our company, that it should be joyful to be in His presence. But if that wasn't your experience with people, if no one responded to you when you were little, if you were ignored a lot, if you were neglected, if you were abused, if you got the silent treatment or punished harshly, or went to a school or a church where the view of God was kind of terrifying, and he was, I think of it kind of like an evil Santa Claus, like he's always watching and he's waiting for you to do something bad. That was kind of, I think, the view I had of God. Like, he's not going to be happy and he's just waiting for you to do something wrong. Well, that verse I read from Psalm 36 describes that there should be an experience of joy in God's presence, that he enjoys our company, and that he wants to overflow in us and through us. I like the verse in Hebrews 4 that talks about that we can confidently approach the throne of grace. So most of us approach timidly or sheepishly or like, you know, like full of guilt and like apologetically. But that's not how the Lord wants us to approach him. All of our sin is paid for through Jesus Christ. You probably heard me talk about going through the checkout line. Once something is paid for when I'm at the store, I don't keep getting in line to pay for it over and over. Likewise, our sin has been paid for by Jesus Christ. So there's no value in us punishing ourselves, retreating from God because we feel guilty. That guilt isn't coming from Him if we have asked Him to forgive our sins. I want to share all those things to kind of lay the groundwork that if that is not becoming more and more your experience, then something from your past, the way that you were treated, any unresolved trauma, any harsh teaching, that that's interfering with you receiving everything God has for you. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that the rest of this podcast. So this is from my book, Correcting Distortions. And I'm going to read to you. This is from page 29. So you can think of perfectionism as needing to be perfect, but it shows up in many forms. Self-criticism, where I'm never happy with myself. Expectations that I can handle everything well without help, regardless of how I'm feeling. or demands I place on myself to do more, be more efficient, try harder. So this translates spiritually into to what David Siemens has called striving. He wrote the book Healing for Damaged Emotions. It was really popular a number of years back. So it's the idea that if I try hard enough, God will be happy with me. And if I'm not trying hard enough, then God is unhappy with me. The Bible teaches this unconditional love that God has for us through Jesus Christ once our sins are paid for through Jesus Christ. And many people have trouble receiving that for the reasons that we've talked about. And if you think about it, the people in the Bible who were big on rules and low on grace, those were the Pharisees. Those were the people that Jesus argued with. He was very patient with Mary Magdalene, who had been a prostitute. He was patient with his disciples most of the time, although he corrected them. But the harsh words were saved for the religious leaders who believed that they were good just the way they were and that they were superior. So it's when we're rebellious or have a superior attitude that we're going to be gently disciplined by God. But if we're trying to do what's right, then God is patient and loving towards us. And if we don't see him that way, again, that's coming out of some kind of experience that has been a little bit damaging to us. It's not who God is. So when we get stuck in religious performance, instead of enjoying relationship and connection, then we're going to have trouble receiving. So I did two podcasts back in the fall on practicing the presence of God and practicing the goodness of God. And so if this is something you need help with, I'm going to put links to those so that you can delve into those a little bit more deeply. Now, this connects with toxic guilt and shame. Healthy guilt is when we do something bad, we feel bad about it, and we say we're sorry. Maybe we need to tell a person, hey, I'm really sorry I did that. I shouldn't have done that. Or we can apologize to God. So we can go straight to the Lord. And then we receive that forgiveness. It's like washing your hands, and then you keep going. You don't have to get bogged down in it. So toxic guilt or shame, where I'm bad, I am never good enough, God is probably mad at me. Those kinds of things are perpetuated by families or churches that are very heavy on rules and duty and expectations, and very stingy on extending forgiveness, kindness, what the Bible would call grace. So chronic guilt and shame are born out of a sense of rejection. This is page 31. And the feeling that I'm always wrong, that I'm bad, that God is probably angry with me, disappointed with me, disgusted with me. And you probably know that the shortcomings of the authority figures in our lives, those tend to be projected on a subconscious level onto God, because those relationships predate our ability to know anything about God. So it just sort of spills over and contaminates. So I have a chart. I'm just going to describe it to you. If you're watching the video podcast, I'll post the chart. But religion or rules is striving, fear, kind of wears you out. It's a formula. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do it this many times. The emphasis is on rules and duty. There may be a heavy emphasis on tradition. Now, there's nothing wrong with tradition, but tradition is not relationship. And then there's lots of guilt. So grace, or where we're cultivating relationship with Jesus Christ through time with him, through his word, trying to obey, that is characterized by acceptance, because Jesus paid our way to the throne of God. Peace, because we can receive peace from God, peace with God, peace with ourselves, even more, an enjoyment of spiritual rest, freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There's even creativity, because we're not focused on rules. We are free to be authentic with who God made us to be and to walk in our gifts and calling. Like in 2021, I did a segment on gifts from heaven, and one of the gifts connected to walking in the Spirit of God is creativity. So I'll put a link for that, that not only do we have forgiveness of sin, but we have the power to live according to who God created us to be, not who the people have said we are. So if you're doing the best you can, if you're not deliberately rebelling, then you are able to enjoy peace and freedom and joy. So in my book on correcting distortions, I go into the different examples in the Bible, because God really wants us to understand his gentleness and his tenderness towards us when we're trying to follow him. He uses the example of a shepherd with the sheep. The shepherd is very gentle and kind to the sheep. The mother hen and her young, always looking out for them. Friendship in John 15, that Jesus sees us as friends. And then even a tree and branches, like in a vineyard, where the branch isn't striving to be part of the tree. You just receive. But we don't earn the love that God has for us. He wants us to follow him. It's not just a buffet where you pick and choose what you like, but to really experience the closeness with God, peace of God, we do need to follow him. But there's grace in the journey, in the process. So I'm going to read another paragraph from Correcting Distortions. A life of faith is not a set of rules. Although when we experience the love of God, we will want to stay close to him rather than indulge in harmful, sinful practices that lead us into trouble. It is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance in our daily attitudes and choices. You can find that in Romans 2:4. A relationship with Jesus means I lean into him each day for the flow of my life. This type of life is not rooted in fear of an angry, judgmental God. Love and connection is the foundation of our union with Jesus Christ from start to finish. But when we live under the distortion that God is easily angered, or that we have to constantly work to please him, we will wear ourselves out. Then we will be more likely to be critical of ourselves and others when we live under the law instead of that secure confidence in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. God is love, that's 1 John 4:16, and mercy and truth are united perfectly in Jesus. That's John chapter 1, verses 14 to 17. So we can abide in him each day to enjoy the benefits of that union. So to kind of summarize, people can be afraid of God or even angry with God because of things they've been through with people. People tend to feel ashamed of their own failures and don't always know what to do about it, and that we all have some distortions of God, but Jesus suffered and died to make a way for us to be close to God. And God invites us to be his friend and to co-labor with him, to have an impact in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our culture, so that we carry light instead of darkness. So I'm going to read this verse from Hebrews chapter 4, and I'm going to read it as our closing blessing. So now we come freely and boldly to where love is enthroned, to receive mercy's kiss, and discover the grace we urgently need to strengthen us in our time of weakness. So thank you, Lord, that you give us strength, that you love us, that you enjoy our company, that you enjoy giving us good gifts, and that you bless us and give us little adventures and bring good people into our lives and teach us how to protect ourselves from bad situations. So I pray you would bless this listener for a deeper experience of your love, your acceptance, your power, and your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is Dr. Toni Cooper, and this is Life Without Baggage. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed this, share it with a friend. Next time, we'll be talking more about how to soften perfectionism.